Three rookie standouts at last week's minicamp and why they could all have a major impact in 2022. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode and a fresh week here at Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we are free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter. You can find me over at USA Today Saints Wire Tuesdays on Locked On NFL. And here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by our friends over at Bet Online. They've got all the odds, lines, and props that you could ever ask for and more than ever before. So go check them out over at Bet Online, where the game starts. Chris Olave, the New Orleans Saints' top rookie selection in this year's NFL draft, could be the rookie name that you hear the most in 2022, but he's not the only rookie that's standing out so far in minicamp. Chris Olave, Alante Taylor, Nick Kroll, big names and big opportunities right ahead of each of them. And Alante Taylor in particular is a player that's going to be worth watching, not only as minicamps have wrapped up here, going to a little bit of a break, training camp beginning around the 25th of July or so, but he is going to be somebody to watch throughout the 2022 NFL season as a whole. We're going to talk about all three of those players. Nick Kroll, we're going to get to him in just a moment. We're going to talk about Chris Olave. But first, I want to start off with Alante Taylor and the impact that he could have in 2022. The New Orleans Saints have a very strong secondary. We've talked about it over the course of the past couple of weeks. The secondary might be the strongest part of that New Orleans Saints defense, maybe even the strongest unit on the team. And it's only going to get better because if you're going to argue that the secondary is the strongest unit on the team as a whole, certainly the strongest on the defense, you could also make the argument that wide receiver is the strongest on offense or the second strongest across the team. I think that that would make a lot of sense. And those two position groups are going to go up against one another consistently all throughout training camp, all throughout practice. And we've talked about the big names that Marshon Lattimore is going to go up against, guys like Davante Adams and DeAndre Hopkins, comes right off of suspension just in time to play against the New Orleans Saints, of course, and many other top flight wide receivers like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase as well, former LSU Tigers. So for the Saints, you look at the secondary, and for that team, as the team looks at their secondary, they should breathe a big sigh of relief because 2-3 years ago, we were talking about the secondary being a weakness. Hell, last year, we were talking about the secondary potentially being of concern until you figured out that Paulson Adebo was going to pan out, right? Because they weren't able to bring back Janoris Jenkins last year. So there was some concern about who was going to be that cornerback number two. Now, you have three different players on the secondary that could potentially compete to be cornerback two opposite Marshon Lattimore. Paulson Adebo, who held that spot down extremely well last year. Bradley Roby, who's a veteran. The Saints traded a third-round pick for him before the season began last year, then invested a third-round pick in Paulson Adebo. Bradley Roby was suspended the first game of last season, so he never really got the opportunity to even compete with Paulson for that number one or number two spot, and Paulson never let it go once he got it. But there's also second-round selection this year in Alante Taylor out of Tennessee, one of the highest-drafted Tennessee Volunteers, outside of, course, Robert Meacham, who the Saints drafted years ago in the first round. So when you think about the competition that could potentially go down opposite Marshon Lattimore in a system that is secondary focused, right? One that relies on its secondary quite a bit. They put corners out on islands. They have safeties cover the deep middle of the field. They trust their secondary. Dennis Allen, he's former defensive coordinator, right? Of course, he was the former defensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints just last year, led them to, as an interim head coach, to a 9-0 shutout of the reigning Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Before that, he was a secondary guy. Like, that's just always been his game. Now you have a secondary that is as strong as the mind of the head coach. And when you have the competition that continues to bolster and make the players better, it's not always just about like the better player winning the position. Sometimes the two players, the three players that are competing end up pushing and end up competing and developing over time because of the competition that's there. And Dennis Allen spoke to New Orleans media after minicamp and mentioned that was a thing that they really focused on, making sure that they were bringing in competition and creating competition to help players develop and get better. No one's comfortable on the New Orleans Saints roster, even in that secondary, outside of course, Marshawn Lattimore. So now you look at Alante Taylor and you go, okay, Ross, so how is it that he is somebody that's going to have an impact his rookie year? Well, of course, he could win the spot. Like, just because you're not supposed to develop quickly doesn't mean that you're not going to develop quickly. Just because you're a rookie and you're not supposed to win starting roles over players that are established in those roles doesn't mean that you won't win those roles over established roles, right? Like, we have to wait and see how this all pans out for Alante and how it all works out for him as he transitions. But you've heard Chris Richard, we talked a little bit about what it was that he said about Alante Taylor and his maturation. Him and Paul Sanudibo effectively being attached at the hip. They've been hanging out. They've been spending time together. Like, they've all been trying to work and get better. That's exactly what Dennis Allen wanted to do by bringing a guy like Alante Taylor into the building. And he did it across other positions as well. So I think that's one way that he, of course, ends up making a massive impact. And you're already starting to see him making plays in minicamps. You're seeing him make really clean breaks on the ball. You're seeing him work on technique. You're watching him be in situations where he's being considered public enemy number one in one-on-ones, which means he's probably chirping a ton. And you know how much the New Orleans Saints love confident secondary players, right? CJ Gardner-Johnson, Marshawn Lattimore, even Marcus Williams was a confident guy. Like, those are the things that you wanted to carry with you. Von Bell from years ago, right? Like, they loved Von Bell, Malcolm Jenkins. And then now you add Marcus May and Tyrann Mathieu and Alante Taylor and Bradley Roby. Like, they like their confident guys. So you see the qualities of the player, the qualities of the man that the New Orleans Saints really like in that position. So you have that part. And now you're seeing all the sort of steps being taken toward developing and making plays. We'll watch that battle throughout training camp. He's got NFL size. He's got NFL build. He's got NFL speed, 4.34 speed. I mean, the guy, he's going to be a fantastic gunner at the very least. He could be an all-pro guy as a special teamer, but his sort of trajectory or his viewpoint for himself is well above that, as well as it should be, right? He should be competing to be the number one cornerback, right? He should be competing to try to upset Marshawn Lattimore. It ain't gonna happen, but that's his mindset. It should be that. So I like a lot of the sort of mental toughness, the maturation, as Chris Richard talked about when it comes to Alante Taylor. And the other way that he ends up impacting the team, even if he doesn't end up winning the role itself, as the starting corner opposite Marshawn Lattimore, perhaps he becomes a huge part of the development process for Paul Sanudibo, who takes off in his second year. Or he becomes a big part of Bradley Roby's late development process as a veteran and ends up pushing him into something new. Or he ends up having another impact to where he comes in as a reserve player or as a backup for an injury or something like that. Like, there's just so many different ways for Alante Taylor to make an impact. And he's already setting himself on the right road to be able to make that impact as early as his rookie season, whatever version of that it ends up being. But so far, so good for Alante Taylor in his development. Remember, just because they're not supposed to doesn't mean that they won't. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a look at Chris Olave starting his Offensive Rookie of the Year campaign early. How is that possible when he hasn't even hit the field? I'll tell you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. But first, I get to tell you about our friends over at BlueNile.com, where you can celebrate all of life's special moments, from creating custom engagement rings of the love of your life's dreams, or you can gift something like a classic timeless jewelry piece, like a tennis bracelet or some diamond-studded earrings, things like that. All at prices that you're not going to find at traditional jewelers, and with the modern convenience of online shopping over at BlueNile.com. If you want to build that engagement ring that's just as unique as the person that you love, or you want to celebrate those life's special moments, you're going to be able to do all of it with 24/7 jewelry experts on hand at BlueNile.com. So make your moments shine and make your moments sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off of orders $500 or more. This podcast exclusive does include engagement. So use promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On so that you can take advantage of the deal. Every order is insured, it ships free, and it arrives in discreet packaging so that it doesn't ruin the surprise that's inside. So find your forever piece and shop stress-free at BlueNile.com today. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks so much, as always, making us your first listen of the day every day. Hope you're liking the new setup. There's a whole bunch coming. Going to get some books up here. A whole bunch of stuff that we've got, like, on the way. But, you know, getting settled in over here. I want to also tell you, speaking of getting settled in, I want you to get settled in and check out the NBA mock draft that we have going on. The Ultimate NBA Mock Draft started on June 16th with over 50 insiders. Nothing equals the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. Locked On NBA Big Board Draft experts and our Odyssey insiders all come together to help talk a little bit about what the NBA draft, which is on Thursday, could potentially shake out. First pick happened on June 16th, so make sure you go back, listen to the old episodes, catch up with more episodes on the way through a Wednesday. Just search the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and follow now so that you don't miss a pick. All right. Chris Olave is potentially starting his Offensive Rookie of the Year campaign early. Now, how is that possible? He hasn't even hit the field, Ross. Calm down. We know you like Chris Olave, Ross. Okay, we get it. We understand. All right, we know. I get it. All right. Now, listen, y'all know I've been high on Chris Olave for a long time. I've wanted Chris Olave to be a New Orleans Saint since he was supposed to come out of college 2 years ago. So maybe I'm just getting a little overhyped. But you know what? I'm excited. Okay, football's back. New Orleans Saints are back. All the good things are happening. So let me have this for a moment. But let me tell you why. So that maybe you feel a little bit more like I do. Chris Olave's out here making contested catches and double coverage on the sidelines during minicamp. What more do you need? What more do you need? This dude is going to have an immediate impact. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's picking up the playbook very quickly. He mentioned that he was somebody, you know, when Nate, the New Orleans media spoke to him in the locker room, I believe it was the second week of OTAs, if I remember correctly. And he talked about how he was picking up the playbook already. Remember, we've watched players get drafted to New Orleans. Like Tre'Quan Smith, took him a while to get comfortable with the playbook, to get comfortable with all the personnel calling, the personnels and everything like that, and having to swap everybody out. The Saints offensive system is not simple, right? It's not a simple system. Like, they still run West Coast play calls that are very, very long. I'll give you examples of those on Wednesday, by the way. I'll show you the difference between like a New Orleans Saints play call and what the same play call might look like in, like, you know, I don't know, Cliff Kingsbury's offense or something. Like, the play calls are long. Sometimes they call two plays in the huddle. That's why you get the kill calls. Remember Drew Brees yelling, kill, 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 kill. That's telling everybody, okay, we're going to the second play that I called in the huddle. So you have to know and really understand this playbook in order to be able to really maximize your talents in the New Orleans Saints system. But if you can do it, and if you can understand the play calls, if you can get the mental side of the game down, you have every opportunity to shine. Look at guys like Devery Henderson and Robert Meacham and Lance Moore and Pierre Thomas and like all these guys that came in and had these kind of immediate impacts, even Alvin Kamara, right? Like that didn't just happen because they're only talented players, right? Because they're only good football players. Those happen because of this right here, the head, the noggin. I don't know if you can hear me tapping on it, but I'm tapping away. Tap, tap, tap. Because that's what it takes. That's what it takes. So you already see Chris Olave picking up that part of the game, right? Now you're also starting to see him make these big highlight catches and everything during training camp. And here's the thing about that, right? Or minicamp. Here's the thing about that, though. We tend to have caution when it comes to the offseason activities, minicamps, training camps, when somebody's out there making big plays. Emmanuel Butler, for instance, made some huge plays during training camp, but wasn't able to pick up the playbook and wasn't able to contribute on special teams, right? So then the breadth of knowledge just wasn't there for him in terms of what the New Orleans Saints were looking for. So now you look at Chris Olave, who's having success, who's clearly understanding the playbook pretty well, who's making an impact, and who's a first-round selection, not an undrafted free agent. So you already know he's going to hit the field. You already know he's going to hit the field. I know they always talk about how, like, hey, just because you're a first-round pick doesn't mean that you're guaranteed a spot. Chris Olave is guaranteed a spot, right? Trevor Penning might not be, right? James Hurst was taking first-team snaps at left tackle during minicamp. That is a big note. That is something to consider. But it's early, so you got to see how Trevor Penning ends up continuing to develop, right? Chris Olave, he good. He fine. He going to be all right. You know what I mean? He's going to hit the field. And when he hits the field, he's going to have an immediate impact. So you're already starting to hear his name nationally, not just here, not just me, not just Nick, not just Kat, not just Jeff, not just Larry, not just all them, right? It's not just us. Everybody. Everybody talk about Chris Olave. You're seeing him on the national polls when it comes to like which wide receiver was drafted into the best situation, right? Which wide receiver has the opportunity to make an immediate impact? Chris Olave's name comes up. Conversations around Offensive Rookie of the Year. Chris Olave is at the top of that conversation, right behind Kenny Pickett. Now he's you know, kind of grouped in with guys like Breece Hall and stuff like that, but he's still in that conversation, right? Remember when Marshon Lattimore was drafted by the New Orleans Saints? They ignored him. They ignored him. And then he went on to win Defensive Rookie of the Year because he's a really good football player. And because he ended up in New Orleans, he didn't really get the shine once he was drafted, right? Because everybody wanted to talk about, oh, Patrick Mahomes went 10 off the board right before. I mean, that's where the focus was. There's no big thing pulling focus, except, you know, particularly quarterbacks, because what we learned was that everyone across the NFL felt the exact same way about the quarterbacks as the draft analyst did, which is that there was maybe a first round quarterback. So there's no distraction here when it comes to Chris Olave. Chris Olave will have every opportunity to be a national name throughout the 2022 NFL season because he's picking up the playbook. He's got the mental side down. He's already starting to make plays. Andy Dalton's throwing him the ball during minicamp. We haven't even gotten to the point to where Jameis is throwing him the ball in 11-on-11s, right? Jameis Winston and Marcus May, they participated in everything across minicamps except for 11-on-11 drills. And really, the only three players that like were present but then didn't really participate were the guys that were injured. So you had a lot of the players that Chris Olave is going to be around. The only big difference is that he didn't have Jameis throwing the ball 50, 60, 70 yards downfield, right? Just like he told Tre'Quan Smith last year. You remember what he told Tre'Quan Smith last year, Jameis Winston? Just keep running. You know what Chris Olave is going to do? He's going to keep running. All right, coming up next, another player that could potentially just keep running. It's Nick Kroll. Big tight end, undrafted free agent out of Pitt. Could he be somebody that shakes up the New Orleans Saints tight end room? I'll tell you why I think he can when we continue on and wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. But first, I get to tell you about another one of our friends. And today, it's BetOnline. I talked about where Chris Olave ranks when it comes to Offensive Rookie of the Year. Plus 900 right now, second place, tied with guys like Breece Hall, so on and so forth, a couple of other offensive rookies like Garrett Wilson, a couple of other wide receivers. So if you want to get in on that, you feel really confident about Chris Olave potentially being Offensive Rookie of the Year this year, BetOnline's the place to go. You can put a little bit of money down on that. You can get in on Defensive Rookie of the Year, MVP, Comeback Player of the Year. New Orleans Saints have two players in the top three when it comes to Comeback Player of the Year, Jameis Winston, Michael Thomas. Put money down on both. Put money down on the one that you're really excited about, or make sure you throw something down on maybe like the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, UFC, MMA, boxing, esports. They've got everything for you over at BetOnline. So go and check them out today. BetOnline, where the game starts. Get it, Huda Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Nick Kroll, undrafted free agent, tight end out of Pittsburgh, could be a big part of the New Orleans Saints offense in 2022 if he continues the trajectory that he's already set up for himself in OTAs and minicamp. Now, it's a big if, right? Big if. OTAs, you didn't really have the veterans out there. OTAs, you're doing a lot of stuff on air. Minicamps, you get a little bit of the veterans out there, still doing a lot of stuff on air. Have to see what all pans out when it comes to training camp. Just like we talked about with Alante Taylor, right? Like training camp is going to be the big selling point for these players. But if there is any room across the New Orleans Saints offense, defense, team that has the biggest sort of movability or potential for a shakeup, it's the tight end room. Because we just don't know. We just don't know what's going to happen there. I mean, Adam Trautman, you expect, is going to be tight end one. They invested, you know, their entire day three of selections 2 years ago to draft him out of Dayton, Ohio, in the third round, pick 100, 105, something like that. Bring him to New Orleans. He has an okay rookie season, right? Getting acclimated. It's super, super hard to transition from college tight end to NFL tight end. It's like the hardest position to translate from outside of maybe like defensive interior, where you're just asked to do very different things in college than you are in the NFL at both of those positions. That's all. And so you expected kind of the slow ramp up for him. Second year, he found some moments, got better, got injured, came back, got better, but still had some reservations, some things that were maybe a little bit disappointing in terms of the expectations that were up there. And the expectations were high on Adam Trautman his second year, like really, really high, like maybe unfairly high, right? So we should acknowledge that too. But outside of him or behind him, you don't really know what the tight end room is going to shake out like at the beginning of the season. Juwan Johnson deserves more snaps. We saw him make an immediate impact in his transition from wide receiver to tight end. Love seeing that. He played extremely well last year at the position. I was dead wrong dead wrong about that transition needing to take a little bit more time. He did a phenomenal job in that move. Nick Vanette, we'll see what happens. Taysom Hill is going to have an impact on this team on offense. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And according to Dennis Allen, may still be taking snaps at quarterback too as like a read option quarterback, for instance. So we're not done with the Taysom Hill under center stuff. Doesn't mean he's going to be throwing passes or getting as many reps at quarterback like what we've seen over the past couple of years in Sean Payton's system. But in Pete Carmichael's system, Taysom Hill is not going to be an afterthought. So he's still going to make an impact. And he will be able to also make a big time impact as a pass catcher and out of the backfield. So those will be two things to watch with Taysom Hill. But the question around Taysom Hill is simply health and timeline, right? Coming back from the Liz Frank injury, how impactful can he be in 2022? How much of himself can he be in 2022? And how long will it take for that Liz Frank injury to heal to the point to where he can get back out on the field and have that impact, right? They're extremely unpredictable, the Liz Frank injuries. So something to watch there. So there's a lot of space, a lot of room, a lot of breathing room in the New Orleans Saints tight end room. And there's one guy that continues to rise to the top anytime that it comes to conversations around players that are maybe stepping up and making an impact as rookies in camp or in the offseason training activities. And that's Nick Kroll. Nick Kroll is 6'6", 250 pounds, quintessential build, fantastic NFL size for a tight end. Fantastic in terms of what the New Orleans Saints are accustomed to as well. They don't usually go undersized at tight end. Taysom Hill's a little bit of an exception, but he's not a natural tight end, right? But Nick Vanette, Adam Trautman, Jared Cook, Benjamin Watson, Michael Ho'omanowanui, Josh Hill, all of these guys were big body dudes. Benjamin Watson was maybe the shortest out of that group, if I'm thinking correctly, but like the Saints don't usually go for like a 6'2", 6'3" tight end. They brought in the kid Deion Yelder a few years ago from Western Kentucky as an undrafted free agent, and he had some nice plays in camp, but he wasn't about to make the roster at 6'2", not as a tight end, not in New Orleans. Right? Like you have to be able to do a lot of different things to make the roster as a New Orleans Saints tight end. Blocking and pass catching, Nick Kroll does both of those things well, and he has the NFL size and the preferred sort of prototypical size of a New Orleans Saints tight end. So the way that he ends up having an immediate impact in 2022 is interesting because he technically doesn't need to make the 53-man roster. What do you mean? Okay. Let's say that the Saints keep on their roster Adam Trautman, Nick Vanette, Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill as their four tight ends, right? The next thing to watch is, does Nick Kroll end up on the practice squad and how often does he end up elevated, right? The Saints love running 12 personnel, two tight ends on the field. They do it quite a bit. Last year, the Saints ran 12 personnel, which by the way means one running back and two tight ends, two wide receivers. So the first number, when you do like 12 personnel, 11 personnel, that represents how many running backs. The second number represents how many tight ends. So 13 personnel, right, one running back, three tight ends. 21 personnel, two running backs, one tight end. So when I talk about 12 personnel, I mean two tight ends on the field. The Saints ran that 20% of the time in 2021. Now, that's not most in the NFL. Most of the NFL, I believe, was Miami. Yeah, Miami at 61%. But lowest numbers in the NFL were teams like Baltimore and Buffalo who ran this 9 and 8%. So the Saints were doubling that. So they're kind of right in the middle in terms of the frequency of using 12 personnel. And that was a big reason why they drafted. If you go back and you listen to the post-draft interviews when it came to Adam Trautman, is that they wanted to run more 12 personnel. They wanted to get more two tight end sets out on the field. Now they have a terrific trio of wide receivers now in Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave. So that could just mean that maybe they run a little bit more 11 personnel, one tight end, one running back here in 2022 because of the talent that they have at wide receiver, and you want to maximize that talent. But depending upon what you want to do with that tight end, if you're marching out 11 personnel and you plan to run out of it, you might want a solid blocker. That gives you a guy like Adam Trautman, but who else behind him if Nick Vanette is still on the roster? If Nick Vanette is dealing with an injury, things like that. Nick Kroll becomes the next blocker because right now the only blockers you have on the position or at the position are JP Holtz, Nick Kroll, Adam Trautman, and then Nick Vanette. So you probably want that extra player for the matchups. So that would give Nick Kroll more snaps and more opportunities. Then you end up setting up a precedent. When Nick Kroll is out there during that game, when he gets elevated, hey, the defense thinks they're going to run because he's the blocking tight end. They tend to run when he's out on the field, all that. Then all of a sudden, he ends up becoming a big-time passing threat for you over the seam, which is huge. And that was something Nick Underhill pointed out. One of his big plays over the course of minicamp happened over the seam. So the seam, think about like if you can envision a football field, the hash marks down the side, that kind of area over there, that's considered the seam. That's the easy way to kind of designate it, right? It's more detailed than that, but that's the easiest way to designate it. So if you think about that, then you think about, okay, how often do the New Orleans Saints attack that area of the field?
The answer is a lot.
You think back to Jimmy Graham. Think about your favorite Jimmy Graham catch. Yeah, it was over the seam. Like, that's what they did. That's what they did with Jimmy Graham. So I'm not saying that Nick Kroll is going to be a Jimmy Graham type, but I'm just saying that with Pete Carmichael continuing this offense moving forward, that the seam and being able to attack that area of the field vertically with a tight end is going to be a big part of the scheme. And so if Nick Kroll can continue to do that, can also get himself on the field with some blocking snaps, and he can continue to develop quickly as a pass-catching tight end in his transition from college to the NFL, which, remember, is not easy, then all of a sudden he has a massive impact in 2022, whether it's because he makes the roster, whether it's because he's an elevated, consistent piece from the practice squad, because remember, you can elevate players now three times to the practice squad before you have to cut them or make them a part of your 53-man roster. And if you do that enough and he ends up panning out, then why spend more money on another player when you can have this undrafted free agent that ends up being able to do a lot? So that's a route that the Saints could go. And then, of course, injury, and then he ends up coming in. That gives him an opportunity too. It also allows you to not rush Taysom Hill back and really have him for when it matters, which is going to be for the stretch run of the season where he ends up being like this weapon X for you on offense. So not a bad situation for the New Orleans Saints, and not a bad situation for Nick Kroll, who is working his tail off as he comes in as an undrafted free agent from Pittsburgh. So Alante Taylor, Chris Olave, and Nick Kroll, three rookies standing out during mini camps. But what about the veterans? And in particular, what three veterans have the most pressure on them going into 2022? We'll lead that off with tomorrow's conversation, unless there's any big breaking news. We've also got to break down the new black helmets, which looks super dope, and I'm very excited to see them. We'll try to predict maybe when we see them for the first time, which will be week two against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's my like legitimate prediction, but we'll talk more about it all in tomorrow's episode as well as throughout the week as we're still here with you over the offseason, Monday through Friday here on Locked On Saints. For your second listen today, make sure you go and check out the Locked On NFL podcast. Myself and Luke Braun are going to have you covered for your Tuesday episode. You got Kevin, who checked in with all of our local experts on the biggest stories for Monday, and of course, all throughout the rest of the week, less than 30 minutes, everything you need around the league. I appreciate you so much, as always, making me a part of your routine and a part of your day. If you see me, say hi. That's all I'm going to say. And also, appreciate you, as always, making me a part of your day. We'll be back with you tomorrow. But for everything you need in between these episodes, make sure you're checking me out on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that Nation. I'll holler at you.